Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I'm excited about who the Holy Spirit is and what He does in our church. I really am. I mean, he enables us, He empowers us to do great things for God. You know, the children of Israel were in bondage, and it was called Egypt. And they were in bondage in Egypt, and God finally had enough. And you guys all know the story, probably seen the movie, that Moses, God told Moses to, man, go to Pharaoh, and you grew up in Pharaoh's house, you got access, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses said, he's not going to listen to me, I'm not doing it. God told him again. It was repeated. And finally, Moses, God sent plagues and pestilence and bugs and all kinds of other stuff. And then death. And really, honestly, the Egyptians were in such a mess with God that they couldn't keep the Israelites in bondage. So the Israelites left Egypt. And they not only left Egypt with what they had, they left Egypt with all the spoils of Egypt. So there wasn't an opportunity for the Israelites to vote or to have a choice. If you were Jewish, if you were an Israelite and you were in Egypt at that time, and when Moses just said, hey, let's go, you didn't have to have a vote. You didn't have a say. You just had to go. So essentially, the Israelites were driven out of bondage. They were driven out of Egypt, all of them, lock, stock, and barrel. But then they got to the wilderness. And the reason that the wilderness was such an issue for the generations of Israelites that were there is because they weren't driven through the wilderness. If they had been, it wouldn't even have been 2 weeks for them to get through. They were led through the wilderness. And they were a difficult people to lead. People are hard to lead. And they were led to the promised land. So you think about that, and I want you to keep the context of your life in this scenario. I was driven out of sin. I was. It's like, life can't get any worse. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I answered an altar call. I was hungover. I left that church service thinking, is that it? Is that all there is? Are you kidding me? How did this happen? How did I comply to standing in front of a church and confessing Jesus as Lord of my life? Because I was driven to that point. I'll just tell you. But you know what? Beyond that, now my obedience factored in. Now I had to be led to God's promise. I had to be led to a new land that God had given me. I had to be led to a new life. Are you guys feeling me on this? See, we're led. You're led to church. Church is a choice now. I'd venture to say I really didn't have a choice but to give my life to the Lord. And you know, I'll confirm that in the Word where the Bible, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you. Now, are you up for this appointment? But see, the Israelites were driven out. We were led through the wilderness into the promised land. And so we're driven out of bondage. We're led into the promise. And that requires one thing, write this down, preparation. It didn't take any preparation to get saved. It didn't. To receive God's promise, we've got to have preparation for that. And see, that's what this life is all about now. This life, what church is all about, is just preparation. It's preparing me. How many of you guys know there is better ahead for your life? Can I see your hands? Well, you got to be prepared for it. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on it. Do you agree with that? See, and we've got to understand that we're led into promise, and that requires our preparation. In emphasizing the faithfulness of God to keep His promises, we could go, and you're going to have to just take notes tonight, okay? Because, or go back and listen to the podcast, because I'm not going to go verse by verse through the book of Joshua. But what's uncanny about this is it parallels our lives. That the book of Joshua is broken into four sections. okay? Four sections. Number one is chapter 1-5. And what that section is, it prepares us to enter into this promise, to prepares us to enter into the promised land, okay? And I'll tell you, I think that that's what we deem discipling and discipleship. What does discipleship do? Man, it's the keys to entering into the promised land. And let me tell you, that's 1/4 of the equation. 25% of the equation's in the first five books of the book of Joshua, and it prepares us to just listen, to dip our toe in it, to just enter into the place of promise. Number two, and that's chapter 6-12. Number two is that we're fighting for the land now. See, and most people don't have any understanding of this. Churches are full of people that are just getting open-handed slapped around by the devil, deceiving them and destroying their lives, and they don't know that they have to take a stand and fight for the promise God's given them. Okay, so that's number two. You got to fight for the land. Number three, and this is the one that really applies to Wednesday night church, because most of you guys are probably in the higher commitment levels in your walk with God, into the body of Christ, and ministry, and the local church. See, this is something that's huge, where we try to activate people. We try to get people involved. We can try to get people, listen, you're already serving. And you walk in here, and a lot of times you're like, are they going to talk about me serving again? Dear God, can they get off the serving train and get to the stuff I need? Well, let me tell you why you need it. Because the third section of the book of Joshua, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, was distributing the land. And that's chapters 13-22. Listen, all those chapters, 10 chapters in the book of Joshua, described, depicted, gave them the keys, listen, to distributing to the land, where we become landowners now. We become stewards of the land that God's given us. See, when you think about your life, this applies to you personally. It applies to your marriage, you're raising your kids. See, you have to. How many of you guys are parenting children right now, in the middle of parenting? You have to teach them to take responsibility. Because let me tell you, we are born with the innate ability to deflect responsibility, to make excuses and to give explanations on why we shouldn't have to take the responsibility for something that happened in our life. And let me tell you, our country's full of that. I'm telling you, Americans are some of the best in the world at absolving themselves from taking responsibility. And you know what? In the kingdom, the land was distributed, and you were responsible for that land in the book of Joshua. And number four is preparing for life in the land now. Now, what we do is a lot of times, and oh good, it's stacked up there, that I think we're okay at number one, and I think we're okay at number four, but notice you don't go from 1-4 here. Like, it doesn't go from the first chapter of Joshua through the fifth and then go to the 23rd and the 24th. What's interesting about this is there's only 2 chapters, 10 chapters on distributing the land and 2 chapters on preparing to live life in the land. Is that interesting to you or not? See, but we're so big at living the life and training people to live the life. Man, we're so big at preparing to enter the land, at living the life. But let me tell you, 2 and 3 is massive to us being able to live number 4. Man, we learned how to take a stand for the land that God's given us. Take a stand for your health. Take a stand for your prosperity. Do you understand the curse of the law is poverty, sickness, and death? And this land that God's given us is a land that flows with milk and honey, flows with life and abundance. Man, what was the fruit like in the land? They would take bunches of grapes that required 2 or 3 men to carry 1 bunch of grapes. You think about that kind of abundance. Well, you know what? You've got to learn to fight for that land. You've got to learn to take a stand for that land, a stand of faith for your health, a stand of faith for your prosperity. I mean, somebody at some point's got to be fed up with living month to month. Somebody. Somebody's got to take a stand and say, well, I'm a single mama. I've got three babies. I'm on my own, but I am prospering because everything I put my hand to prospers. And you know what? You've got to take responsibility for your prosperity. Man, God doesn't want you broke. God doesn't want you without. He supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Find that promise in God's word. Grab a hold of it and take a stand for it. You got to learn to fight for that prosperity. You got to learn to fight for your health. Man, you think about it right now, the coronavirus. Those poor beer guys in Mexico, Corona beer's 30% down right now because of the coronavirus. Always picking on the Mexicans, aren't they one? What's up with this? But let me tell you, and you'll say, well, it's not funny. No, wait a second. The terror and the fear and what's trying to be instilled by our media is comical. Man, look at it. No weapon formed against me will prosper in Jesus' name. Anybody say yes about that? Yeah. Don't think you don't have to fight for it. Don't think that you've got to go and be prepared to take the distribution of health that you have. And the devil's going to try to deceive you away from that. The devil's going to try to put things in front of you. Oh, dear God, we're just grasshoppers in their sight. Man, we're Christians. We take on all comers. We're Christians. We're generous people. How in the world can you be generous if you're not prosperous? Man, we're Christians. Man, it's bad to be wealthy. No, let me help you. The world has turned on the wealthy now. Have you noticed that? Wealthy, they're bad people now. You don't want to be a billionaire in America today. You're under relentless attack. Isn't it funny the world's doing that? When God's promised us everything pertaining to life and godliness. When God's promised us that our cup, the capacity of our life, is going to run over. You know what that is? Running over is more than enough, right? More than enough. More than enough. Who's our God? He's the God of more than enough. See, we have to look at this, but let me just tell you, what happens with this is storms come into our lives. And really, everything I've said up to this point is to get your attention, to bring a message about storms. How pivotal, how necessary storms are. Storms are temporal. Storms come at times and seasons. And what does the word say about times and seasons? Hey, I'm a good news guy, right? Anybody ever heard bad news from me? One time. You're never going to hear bad news from me. It doesn't matter. I don't care if all hell's breaking loose. I'm telling you, Jesus is Lord and there's hope. I like to start with something funny. You guys need to get out more. But here's the deal. Storms hit everyone. Okay, simple math. That means storms aren't the issue. Prosperous people, storms hit their lives. Healthy people, storms hit their lives. In your notes, write this down. Don't blame it on the storm. See, we've got to expect storms in our lives. Why? Because for everything, there's a time. For everything, there's a season. Storms come seasonally in our life. Storms come at times in our life. See, but you think about what a storm will do. Man, think about a thunderstorm. Man, when that thunderstorm goes, the air is fresh and crisp and clean. All the pollen, all the pollution. Why is there so much pollution in Southern California? Because they don't have enough storms. If they had more storms, it would wipe that pollution out. But But here, man, the pollen, the things that are in the air, they get cleaned up because of the storm. So the storm will cleanse your environment. The storm will test your strength. How do you know how strong you are until your strength's tested? I want my strength tested. I'll be real honest with you. I want my leadership strength tested. Storms expose weaknesses. If you don't know your weakness, the enemy, hey, let me help you. You've got an enemy. How many of you guys know there's a devil? He knows your weaknesses. Doesn't he? He knows what temptation to float by you. He knows what fiery dart to try to pierce you. It's good. The storm's going to test your strength. The storm's going to expose your weakness. The storm is going to establish your essentials. If I told you that when you get home tonight, you've got 20 minutes. 20 minutes to gather up all the essentials that you can. Where are you going to start? Let me tell you, you're going to find out. Just do this exercise. Man, the things that are invaluable and valuable in your life are the things you're going to go after, right? Right? You're not going to go, oh my gosh, those paper plates, I got to go get them. No, you know what? It's going to establish your essentials. See, I think we live our lives ignoring it, going through storms, and not reeling on what's truly essential in our lives. Man, the storm I'm in right now, I know what my essentials are now. Trust me. The storm's going to test your foundation. And this is probably the most predominant parable in the Word regarding storms. And it's determined, the effect of that storm is determined by what you build your foundation on. How many of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about with your foundation, whether it's rock or sand? Anybody here not know? Okay, you know. So understand that storm, all that storm's going to do, man, if your life has been devastated by a storm, it's not because of that storm, it's because of your foundation. Because I'll tell you what, no matter how, at some point, the winds are just vehement. They're not like you're going, oh my gosh, those were 100-mile-an-hour winds or 120-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know that they feel much different. They're just vehement. And what the Bible says is they beat against your dwelling. Well, your house on sand, the great's going to be the fall of it. Your house is built upon the rock. Just another day. It's just a stormy day, and that storm's going to pass. Storms are going to test, and this one's interesting. Storms are going to test the building codes you've built your life upon. How many of you guys have ever built a building or built something where you had to have, where it was code? How many of you guys have ever had a repair done and the repairman comes in, an electrician will come in and you'll say, man, my electricity's not functioning right. It's not working right. Can you check it? And they'll go to the fuse box and they'll start checking the wiring. But invariably, they're going to open up one of the walls or open up something and they're going to go, oh my gosh, who did this work? It's not code. Have you guys heard that term? It's just not code. Let me tell you how much of our life is like that. See what that, it's going to test your building codes. It's going to test the keys of improvement that you have in your life. The keys to rise above that you have in your life. See, here's what's interesting. We've got to be able to rise above storms. Here's what the Bible says. And you guys finish this verse for me, Old Testament verse. Okay, I'm going to start it, and I'm going to point to you, and I'm going to ask you to finish it. Okay, and I believe everybody in the room can finish it. And it's going to be interesting to you. It's going to be the most interesting thing you've heard all day. Anybody ready for that? Okay, if I take another offering right now, would you give a little more than you gave before to hear the most interesting thing you've heard this week? Okay, I'm not going to do it, but I just wanted to test you there. That's just a test. Some of you guys, when they take the offering, it's like a storm just hit. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. You'll mount up with wings as
eagles.
What the heck does that mean? Can I tell you? The only animal or bird or creature on the earth that when a storm hits goes toward the storm is an eagle. Everything else, bears, lions, wolves, gazelles, rabbits, lizards, snakes, they all flee storms. The eagle, a storm's coming, that eagle is perched and he's waiting on that storm, and you know what he does? He flies toward that storm. You know why? That storm gives him the opportunity to elevate. And he elevates above that storm. That's what that verse means. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. You'll mount up with wings as eagles, and you'll elevate over the storm. That's the eagles God's called us to be. That's what the keys to us rising above the storms is, all in God's promise. And we have to understand that. You know what a storm's going to do for you? Deflate your pride. Pride comes before the fall. Would you rather go through a storm or fall to pride? And you know what that storm's going to do? That storm's going to point you to God. That storm's going to get your attention. See, what the devil's always going to do, the devil, if they'd have known, here's what the authority said right after the crucifixion of Jesus. If we'd have known who he was, we wouldn't have crucified him. See, the devil crucified him and thinking, okay, these Jews, these Romans, all these people, it's going to deflate all the disciples and the followers, and all these people are going to take credit for it when it was just God's plan. See, what the devil did by thinking he won at the crucifixion of Jesus is he took that jar of power and he started unscrewing it. And then Jesus died and he's unscrewing it. And Jesus went to the grave and he's unscrewing it. And Jesus defeated death in the grave, and what happened when he walked out of that tomb is that lid came off of that jar and the Holy Spirit was released for all of our lives. But to the disciples, it felt, the sky went black. What happens in our world when the sky goes black? It's a storm. It's a dark and cloudy day. It's a storm. We're never remembered for what we've avoided. God, get me out of this storm. When God's promised us, he's given us the power to elevate above it. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Did you know the Bible says that? Why is this happening to me? I gave my life to Jesus. Well, part of it is you're in this world. The other part of it is the devil's going to try to get you to focus on that storm rather than elevating. So if you're thinking, why am I going through this? You're thinking the wrong thing. What you need to begin to think is, wait a minute, there's a storm. Time for me to elevate. Oh, here's a storm coming. Time for me to elevate. That's who we have to be. It's like, oh my gosh, the market turned. Time for me to elevate. Oh my gosh, there's a pandemic. Time for me to elevate. Oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. Time for me to elevate. Man, there's the dashboard of my life. Man, there's red lights that are blinking with my kids. Time for me, as a parent, time for me to elevate. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand on the evil day. Take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand when the storm is hitting. Yeah, that storm's evil. Get over it. Rise above it. And having done all, what do? Having done all, that's who we are. And you know what the next verse says? In the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Woo! It all goes back to freedom. It all goes back to liberty. Man, we've got a governor that's saying, I can't fix this legislation. Who should I call? Let's call Guts. Man, understand who you are. Please do. It's not just us who think pound for pound this is the greatest church around. It's people that can legislate everything they can throughout our society, and the things they can't, they call us. That's who we are. So we can either go, oh my gosh, man, my tax dollars ought to pay for that. I'm going to render under Caesar what's Caesar's. What if they double your taxes? I'm not going to like it. I'm just going to render it. What are you going to do then? I'm going to take care of what I can take care of. Let the government take care of what they take care of. We'll take care of what God takes care of, right? You with me on that? This help you tonight? I tried my hardest. It's not an exhaustive list of what a storm produces in our life. It's just a lot of good stuff. I just wanted enough to make the point that it's like, oh my gosh, I'm under attack. Wait a second, it's just a storm that hit. And it's hitting everybody. It feels different to people. But what's your dwelling built upon? My dwelling's built upon God's promise. Is yours? It's got to be built on God's promise. Otherwise, you're just out fighting the rain, fighting the wind, fighting the hail, fighting the torrential, man, the hit beating vehemently against your dwelling, vehemently against what you're trying to build. Let me tell you what the church is built for. The storm. That's what we're built. It's not, we're not built to cruise around tranquil waters. No. Tumultuous waters is what we're built for. We're built for the battle. The Bible even talks about how God has created the horse to run to battle, and we're to be like that horse to run into the battle. Man, is there a battle for people getting out of prison? Man, let's run to it. Is there a battle for kids quitting school? Let's run to them. Is there a battle for foster care kids that are aging out of foster care? Let's run to them. Man, we see somebody with a kid with all their belongings in a plastic bag. Man, let's swoop them up and get them to church. Let's take them to the distribution center. Let's find it. Man, we've got to be able to help in those kind of things, don't we? And because the Bible says this, especially the fatherless and the widows. How many guys are doing time that had good parents? Not very many. Man, it's normally guys that didn't connect with their parents or didn't have them. And you know what? It's just time for us to be who God's called us to be. And that's not a wholesale statement. But we've got to introduce people to the God who loves them so much that he thinks of it as our dad.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.